Golf Talk America is brought to you in part by Club Corp, the world leader in private clubs. Go to clubcorp.com for more information.
The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America, streaming live on pgatour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
And hello once again, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you this morning, and it is the 7th of January. And yes, we are well underway in the wraparound season of the 2019 part of things as we just wrapped up the first tournament of the new year. And that, of course, the Century Tournament of Champions in Hawaii. And hopefully everybody on the mainland here got a chance to look at a little bit of that because, as always, every year, it's a great getaway. If you can't get there, sit in your living room and watch all the beauty and the breaching of the whales in the ocean and everything else. And a really good tournament for Xander Schauffele. Not so good for Gary Woodland. We'll talk about that coming up. And the guys stay in Hawaii. They move over to the Big Island, and they'll stay there for another week at the Sony Hawaii Open, and we'll talk about that as well. We have our good friend Earl Forsey with PGA Tour Radio joining us here very shortly to talk about this week's tournament and the one of last weekend as well. And I think somehow, some way, we're going to get into a little bit of football and talk about the Redskins and whatever else is going on in his mind. Frank Bassett, as always, in the Nashville studios. How are you doing today, Frank?
Good, man. How are you? Great weekend of football. Bad.
You're not a Bears fan, are you?
No, bad for the Bears. No, I'm not a Bears fan. Executive producer is an Eagles fan, so I guess I'm an Eagles fan.
Yeah. Dave Logue loves his Eagles, and the Eagles
tweet you last night?
Yeah. He was congratulating me, which I know is painful, because if you're a Cowboys or an Eagles fan, you usually cannot stand the other side. But we're congenial about it. So he goes, "Hey, where do you?" You know, I know he's gritting his teeth while he's saying it, and I had to congratulate him on the Eagles. I'm telling you, and Earl will talk to us about. Yeah, I know, but somehow those Eagles keep winning, don't they?
And they don't
even need their starting quarterback. That's what's amazing. Their backup quarterback
is better.
Just keeps winning games. Well, he might be.
We were there, for the opening game. Bill Lombard took me as a guest down on the field for the Falcons. Eagles started the NFL season this year. I was down. It was great. We were up for the BMW Championship at Aronimink. So we went to that game that Thursday night. It was great. But they didn't look that good. But, again, first game of the season. Anyway, it's Titans are out. That was a beautiful Sunday night game last week.
It was kind of an early playoff game because it was win or go home, and they went home. The Titans did.
They stayed home.
Yeah, they're down to four teams now in both conferences, and it's just tough. If you don't make it, it's a tough pill to swallow because you got a whole other year to go. Oh, wait till next. Next year, but it's a long way to wait.
The poor kicker for the Bears, though, man. Oh god.
Oh man.
It didn't even bounce off one upright. It hit the upright, then it hit the crossbar. I felt so bad for him. His lineman had him in his arms. I think he was in tears. And you said earlier the crowd was booing him, yet the Bears.
Gave up a touchdown late in the game.
Yeah, and they didn't boo the defense
right there
for
fourth
that.
Down. Yeah, so it's like but I get it. I mean, but you also, and we'll get Earl on, so we'll get into our football stuff. The Bears were a last place team the last 3 years.
Yes.
So the fact that they had a really good year, I know it didn't end the way they wanted to, but the really good year, you got to take some solace in that and say, okay, well, something to build on, because this was a team that was a doormat for the last 3 years, hadn't been in playoffs for almost a decade.
Is this a good year? Kinder, gentler Tim Matthews from Dallas, Texas? something to build on? If it had been the Cowboys, you wouldn't have been saying something to build on.
Yeah, I know. But I'm saying the Bears were last place team, so it's a good year for them.
Well, you're from Chicago, though. JJ has a new yacht. Did you see that? Your boy Jerry Jones.
No.
Oh, yeah.
No, I didn't see.
Big.
Where's he got
big
it stationed?
Big boat. I think.
At the Nashville Yacht Club?
No, I don't think so. I think it's coming from the Netherlands or something. They were doing sea trials on it in December, and it is a big
boat. Seriously, I didn't see
it
at all. Is that
big,
right?
Wow, hundreds of millions of dollars.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
So that's what you do. That's what you do when you got billions, huh?
I guess you're a buddy with him. Let's go out for a ride.
Wow. He's going to have a Lake Texoma. It only means something if you're from the
Lake Texoma. It drafts more than that lake has in it, I guarantee you.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Well, so cool. Let's get to it before we bring Earl in, just to preface our listeners. Gary Woodland, one of my favorite guys out there. Gary's such a nice person. His parents are the nicest folks on the face of the earth. Flew in with them, by the way. When I flew to Aronimink for the BMW Championship, I was sitting beside his parents when we were flying in for the tournament. I was pulling for Gary. I know we're not supposed to pull for anybody individually, but I just was, you know, in my heart of hearts. And how in the world, I wanted to use another word, I'm going to be nice in 2019. I'm trying to curb my happiness in language. How do you defeat 11 under? How do you defeat that when somebody blows 11 under at you on Sunday in the group in front of you? It's obviously rattling. You're watching it the whole time.
It's a course record that Xander Schauffele,
well,
62,
I think he
shot.
Tied the course record there.
Tied a course record. So, I mean, it is almost impossible because Gary Woodland went in with a pretty comfortable lead, five shots on Xander Schauffele going into the final round, and shot a 68. You know, so, I mean, he came in, and it's par 73, which is kind of a bizarre thing, but it's a par 73. So Woodland is the only guy in the entire tournament to shoot in the 60s all four rounds, and yet he still doesn't win. So I think he did as much as he could. I know it came down to 18 and needing a birdie, and it's a very birdieable 18th hole. He didn't get it done. He is frustrated by that, but, again, what are you going to do? You shoot another 68, and a guy comes in with a 62. It is what it is. And Xander, it now has to be considered, because the last tournament he played in was in Shanghai, HSBC, and won that. He now has to be considered with those other great guys in the class of 2012 with Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth as a guy you've got to keep an eye on, because his day's here. He's now won several times on the tour and isn't just a wannabe, a really close contender, got a lot of talent kind of guy. He's a guy that obviously can win and win against this kind of field. Let's remember, Frank, that this is the tournament of champions.
Yes,
and it says that for a very strong reason, because you've all had to won the year before to get there. So it's Dustin Johnson and Rory and Bryson and John Rahm and on and on. Those are the guys you're beating.
Speaking of Bryson DeChambeau, Schauffele is the first player to win back-to-back starts since DeChambeau did it in the 17-18 FedEx Cup playoffs, the Northern Trust and then the Dell Technologies Championship, right?
And I'm curious too. What do you think about the experiment? And Bryson was.
To
leave the pin in almost all the time, but then he decided that he wasn't. And so some putts the pin would be in. I haven't heard exactly why he decides one way or the other. Do you know why he picks out sometimes and doesn't in others?
I'll give him a call. I don't know. But let me tell you, in all seriousness, all that stuff's going to go away the first time somebody puts the ball and it goes bang right off the pin and doesn't drop. Then they go,
I don't know. Everybody seems to be saying that Bryson's onto something. Everybody says that that's the way everybody's going
to
start going.
It's
with
easier
it,
to aim.
The science is going to back it up.
It's easier for me to aim. Yeah. When you're on the practice green, with the little flags, you're aiming at that center. You're aiming at the flag stick. So
easier. It's basically a backboard, isn't it?
It is a backboard. It's a skinny, round backboard. But so you've got to hit it dead center.
And
if
it doesn't
catch
always
it on the left or right, it's gone.
Yeah.
So.
But I think if you dribble it in, it's still going to go in because it'll barely get to the flag, as you know, right? So, I mean, the ball can still go in without really touching the front of the stick. But if you drill one a little too hard, it is a bad. He's done the numbers, and I don't know. You can only imagine the whiteboard, the whiteboard at the DeChambeau house with all the scientific writings about what it, but he says it works.
Tim, there's a trailer. They back up the trailer. It has the Cray computer in it from tournament to tournament.
Yeah.
So they can crunch all the numbers. I've seen Bryson out there with three computers on the practice putting green and all sorts of paraphernalia.
I don't know if you noticed, he missed a putt. He had the stick out in the final round yesterday, and I think it was early in the fifth, sixth hole, and he missed I believe it was a par putt from about 10 feet. Didn't catch the cup at all, and then putted out, and as he picked up his ball, he sent it into the Netherlands
of the
coral and everything else, which was a good shot because he has that extended putter. It's not easy. Have you ever tried to drop a ball and hit it dead center with your putter head? It's not easy. It's like a fungo bat. He just nailed that putt.
A
fungo.
Fungo.
A fungo.
Fungo. What's a fungo?
You know what a fungo is? A fungo is the practice baseball bat that the coaches use when they're hitting line drive.
Oh,
you know,
I got
you're taking
okay.
batting practice out to the outfielders and stuff. It's a longer, skinnier bat. Yeah, it's a fungo.
Fungo.
And, yeah, you think unless you know what you're doing, it's harder to hit the ball.
But I thought that was something that you had to buy athlete's foot spray for. I didn't know.
No.
It's a fungo.
Yeah, it's a whole it's a whole other fungo. So, anyway. So Bryson, by the way, shot a 71, so he was two under. This is a no-cut tournament as well. So getting the invite to play at the Tournament of Champions means you're going to always make some money. And sure. The last place, which went to Michael Kim and Satoshi Kahara, both made $63,000 for just showing up. So thank you very much. It covers, it covers a lot of your expenses, probably most of them, unless you're flying private. To get there, and $1.3 million if you happen to be Xander Schauffele.
Unless you bring the entourage that I saw in a picture of Jimenez in his boat. Have you seen that picture of him this past weekend in his boat?
I didn't see that one. No.
I think it was taken in Miami.
Really?
Not sure. Yeah, it was him, a selfie of him. You're seeing his face, and behind him seated are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, like 8 young ladies on the boat. And
really?
That was it. So unless you're taking your entourage like that with you, it would cost you $63,000.
So, by the way, Gary Woodland, you mentioned him earlier, and his family. He took his family. He took he took 11 people to Hawaii.
Well, there you go.
So Xander, not Xander, but Gary, So Gary made $750,000. So he had some bills to pay, but he walked away with some. Good money, but again, it's this level for those guys. They want to win championships, obviously.
Sure.
Xander said the best thing about it was, A, the trophy, which is a really cool trophy.
Yes, right?
If you haven't seen the Century Tournament Champions, it's a big whale kind of hooked around. I mean, really, really pretty trophy. But he said the second best thing is he gets to come back next year. So you've already got your flights booked for next year's return to Kapalua. So,
Doug
pretty,
Bell
pretty
and
cool
Kevin
place.
Sylvester that were on the property doing – there's the Rovers doing the play-by-play, are still out there for another week. They get 2 weeks of paid vacation.
Yeah.
They're working hard. I'm kidding. Those guys work really. You know, you do it. I've been out there. It's hard work to do the play-by-play. So, anyway.
Yeah. Let's give Earl a call.
You want to just dial him up? Like,
let's do it.
Not even
He's
take a break?
Yeah.
You want to dial his home or his mobile phone?
I don't know. Which one you got there?
I don't know. I got both.
Just don't offend him, since he won't know he's on the air. Don't say anything, "Hey, go Cowboys."
Well, let's just dial him while
happy.
We're live. You tell him we're live.
Yeah, let's see. Okay. Somebody has to.
This is like the old days when you dial people up, and it's always fun to do that. I think he answered.
Hello.
Earl Forsey.
Earl.
Hey, how are you?
You're on with us live. We just called you out of the blue. How you doing?
We'll tell you that up front that we're on the air, so that...
Awesome.
That you're in a good mood. Good. Well, we appreciate you being with us, and we're going to talk some football in a second here, so we'll get to that. Love hearing your opinions on what's going on in the playoffs, regardless of the Redskins' involvement, but we'll talk a little football. But at least for the weekend, we all got to listen to you and all the other great people on PGA Tour Radio to take us away to the islands, and it's kind of a special time because golf's been on the back burner for a while, and people have kind of been on holidays and everything else, and a lot of parts of the country are snowbound and cold and everything else away. And quite the finish for Xander Schauffele to pull this out, shooting a 62. I'm not saying out of nowhere. He had a great tournament, but it's hard to beat. Frank and I were just talking. It's hard to beat if you're Gary Woodland or anybody else. If a guy's going to tie a course record and shoot 11 under, you kind of got to tip your hat to Schauffele, don't you?
Yeah, what are you going to do? Right. I mean, I think that's, you know, it was kind of the point we were making yesterday that, you know, both guys kind of deserve it one way or the other. You know, Schauffele, if you go out and shoot a course record, hats off to you. And then, you know, Woodland did basically everything he could do, you know, except for birding 18, you know, coming in. And he had gone throughout the entire week, and I've talked about his par five last two seasons, he was fourth in par five scoring on the PGA Tour, so top five among all players. So, you know, that's where you make your hay a lot of places, Kapalua certainly. And the winds, you know, were just whipping for 3 days. We knew, and I was saying probably for about 2 days, that it's going to be Sunday. We're going to have a Sunday shootout. And I said for about 2 days, it's nowhere near kind of low scoring for the first 3 days. Had a 7 under, you know, had some good scores, but you know, they were up until yesterday, 462s at Kapalua, open, of course, 637 under round, it's a little low, open. And three of the four had been in the final round. And so everything was setting up for the shootout. And we kind of got it. We saw the scoring was pretty good early, and then just kept getting lower and lower. Like 3 points shots under par yesterday, you know, nearly double the amount under par that was the first 3 days. So, yeah, and it, but so I had kind of set this, even just mentioned halfway through or midway through on the back nine with Shoffley's there, because it's looking like, hey, he could shoot 62. He may shoot 61 if he makes that eagle, you know, at 18. And it was only 12
feet. Yeah.
So, you know, he brought it up. He's like, you've been saying this all week. Yeah. It just, it, you just kind of sense something like that was going to happen. And someone, and there were some good scores. Webb Simpson, you know, had a really good round yesterday. He was too far back. Shoffley, sure, though, was one of the early guys who, he's five back. He bogeys once, so he's six behind with 17 to play, you know, and then that happens. It's crazy. And, you know, what are you going to do if you're Gary Woodland? And the other number we started yesterday with is he teed off. And, you know, it's sometimes just through no fault of your own, but he's a multiple winner on tour. But in a stroke play event, he did it when he won in Reno. Stableford held on to a final round lead. But stroke play events, going into yesterday, he was 0-for-6, you know, holding on to leads or converting it into wins. And he's right, still looking for it. But yesterday, you know, it's like kind of, what are you going to do? And I think if for him, and it's easy to say from my perspective, you know, you just kind of look at yesterday and said, I played exactly the round I wanted to. If you'd have told him that first tee, I'll give you a bogey-free 500-par round with three-shot lead to start the day, 100 times out of 100, he'd have taken it. I think. I mean, that's exactly what you're looking to do. Not give any shots back, bury the par fives. And the one thing he just didn't do when he really needed to was, you know, birdie a par five when he had been, up until that point, 15 under on 15 par fives. You know, basically averaging a birdie, and only part one par five all week. The rest were birdies and an eagle. And when you really need it at 18, you miss a putt and made par.
Yeah, that was.
What are you going
to
do?
What are you going to do? I mean, that's what we said earlier, right, Earl. I mean, 11 under par facing that, and he had to face it from behind. He was looking at it the whole day, so that had to keep him. I'm surprised he played as well as he played. I mean, that would have kept me a little off balance. But then again, I'm not Gary Woodland.
You're right, and that's just the thing. You know, those spots, it's not like he helped the other guys win. I mean, he, in essence, buried everybody else around him, including McIlroy next to him, you know?
Yeah.
It's just that one guy, and you know, and I said at one point yesterday, you know, there's always that guy. There's always one guy. So we just got through the holidays. Normally, I'm that guy, you know, when family gets together. There's always one guy who's going to shoot a crazy number, right? And you just knew it was going to come from somewhere. Was it going to be someone close enough to have an effect? And it was a guy that was close enough. It's just, there's those situations, and we know that course, and it, you've seen it before. It was just all set up for it. So it was pretty entertaining. And there's, you're right. And he responded. And in essence, you know, there had not been a birdie at 17 until Shoffley went through there yesterday. And birdie did to take the lead. So Woodland, right then, Shoffley hit the best shot of the day. He just stuck one in there and made it. He just no doubt about it. So that was the toughest hole of the day until Shoffley. And then in the final group, Woodland goes through there. Shoffley stuffed it, made birdie. Woodland hit almost as good a shot and made birdie right on top of him. The only two of the day.
Yeah.
On a hole that hadn't had any. So that's the thing with Woodland. He did. I mean, he responded. It just, you know, you just didn't get that last one you needed, but I mean, you can't look at that and say, I bogeyed 18 or I hit a bad shot to lose. No, I mean, just sometimes you get beat. You didn't lose, sometimes you get beat. Yesterday, you got beat.
And then Shoffley steps up on the 18th tee box, stripes it, and then his second shot was the shot of the day. I mean, so, and poor Gary's having to watch all that. So, tough.
And he's up there, and Woodland is usually, you know, he says that that's his demeanor is like DJ. He's a big hitter, big athletic guy, but he doesn't really, it looks easy.
Yeah.
At 18, he came out of his shoes. I mean, he wanted to crush, he did too. He crushed one like 390. But yeah, that second shot by Shoffley, I mean, that's it. It's just, you know, it's a fairway metal, and it was just perfect. Right to left, it kind of tethered in and softened it on the front, trickled up inside. I mean, he couldn't roll it up from the front of the green any better than that. He did it for whatever it was, 73 or something. And, you know, It's congratulations, Tim. He's won back-to-back starts now.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's the thing.
Yeah.
You go back to the fall and,
He's a guy from the class of 2012.
World Golf Championships win to get in this tournament and then wins this tournament. You know, so there's your FedEx Cup points leader now. So.
We're joined by Earl Forsey with PGA Tour Radio. And, Earl, at the same time, when you look at this tournament, do you get the feeling that for some guys it's more vacation, I'm going to play, there's no cut, I'm making money no matter what? Because there's some guys that weren't scoring very well at all, and there's a 20-something shot swing between Bubba Watson in the winter. Even Ian Poulter didn't play that well. Jason Day, kind of up and down. Billy Horschel. Brooks shot 4-under, which, okay, 4-under, but it's still almost 20 shots. 19. Do you get the feeling that sometimes some of these guys, I'm not saying they're not taking it seriously, they'd all like to win, but because you're in paradise and maybe you're coming from the cold or you've been, your bags have been in the closet for a while, that it's some guys look at it maybe a little bit differently than others when they go out there?
It's not a bad way to spend a week. I mean, you know. Part of it is the reward of, and most of the people, they bring the family, the kids. Why not? I would, you know, I'd want to scout the course a little early, you know, and get there mid-December, you know, just to be sure I've got all the nuances down.
It's all work. I mean, yeah.
And I'm not saying I'm taking their heads. I don't know. I think it just, but I did sense, and I never really had a chance to bring it up yesterday. Shaw was just running, and it's a couple times something happened. But it is a tournament, though. It's got that, and it's been a break. I mean, even for the guys who've been playing, it's still a break. Some of the guys, you know, it's been a long break. And for us, for fans, it's been a long break, you know, as far as PGA Tour golf goes. So there is that kind of, it's a post-holiday, it's kind of like, yeah, let's get back to work kind of thing, right? I mean, it's a great place to work, pretty good view outside the window. But there is that. And then, you know, it's great. And, you know, you want to enjoy the week. And a lot of times you probably have fans, parents, whatever, you know, wife, kids. But there is always a sense with that tournament, you get to Sunday, and once play gets on to Sunday, it's like, okay, it's a golf tournament now. And because Woodland had kind of been in control yesterday, you know, all going into yesterday, once he kind of got caught and there was some, it kind of, you know, in the end, there always comes a point to me in that tournament Sunday where kind of the juices kick in. You know, we just talked about Woodland with that tee shot at 18 and the birdie at 17 for both of them. So, yeah, it does at some point. Oh, it gets serious. You know, I mean, it's fun. It's a great place to be. But then there's a tournament, and it's important. I brought this stat a few times that it's one of three tournaments, and it's early. You know, I know we're early kind of into the, quote, season, the wraparound season, but it's early in the year. You know, the last 10 winners of that tournament have gone on to the Tour Championship. I mean, it's – and we're in January. You know, I mean, so there,
it's a good indicator, yeah.
And, you know, in the case of a guy like Shoffley, guy he's won twice, I mean, he's pretty much almost locked, you know, for something like that. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of meaning in it. And, you know, the best part is, like I said, you win. I was talking a couple times yesterday. You win, and on your way out the door, you get to book the room for next year. So,
yeah, exactly. Hey, by the way, Earl, I'm curious, too, but Frank and I were talking before you joined us about Bryson DeChambeau. And let's call it the grand experiment, which actually is his middle name because he's always in the middle of some kind of an experiment that's going on. But now with the flag stick left in, not left in, just curious your thoughts on that, because at first I thought he was going to do it every time when the ball's in the green and the new rule saying you can leave the flag stick in. He thought scientifically that the odds were better for him and he's going to leave it in. But now it's in, it's out, and I'm not sure when he decides to do which or the other. But what do you think about DeChambeau and the flag stick and the other guys in the tour who some are suggesting will all go that way eventually?
It worked really well for the first 2 days, didn't it? I mean, taking everything. And, you know, it's like I was thinking to myself Thursday, it's like, well, we're going to show up Friday and everybody's going to leave the flag stick. I mean, really. So who knows? It worked really well. I thought, just my perception, and someone probably kept numbers on who did what, but, you know, we don't see everybody, but it seemed as we went on more during the week, more guys, at least long putts, some like things like that, started leaving it in. I mean, I don't know if you sensed that. DeChambeau did it on Thursday, and I'm not sure a lot of other people really did, you know, not conventionally, and I would say just like, you know, 20 footer or 30 footers, 24 And he did one time, I think it was Saturday early, like left it in on a short tap and it almost missed it. It kind of, you know, rattled into the edge. Look, if anybody's done the math on it, it's him. I think there might be something to it. I mean, there's a whole new rule, you know, thing. A lot of them, you know, the shortened time to look for balls. Dustin Johnson ran into an issue on Saturday when he shot 74 on a ball that, you know, was in the kind of off the fairway in the wispy, that native grass. It was about, you know, waist high. And he thought he had found his ball was same brand, everything, ended up hitting the wrong ball. And then didn't realize until after he hit that ball, he's walking up about 15, 20 yards up,
right,
just outside that high grass, he saw his real ball. But, you know, that situation now where you could go, it used to be, I don't want to go in there and mess around. I may move the ball. Well, now you can't. You know, it's like those things that guys are going to have to get used to. First day,
yeah,
someone was taking a drop and almost dropped it from shoulder height, and like somebody was yelling, so, no, you know, from the knee. So he was kind of asked about
and that was.
So guys are kind of getting used to all that stuff, you know, or. You know, being able to, I know there was an instance yesterday, Shoffley's in a fairway bunker, and you're able to, you know, move little impediments now. And, you know, it's okay if you touch, you know, a grain of sand. So it's not, that's fine. See, that stuff to me is good. There was so, and I know golf is a precise game, it's a gentleman's game. It's, you know, there's a lot of minutiae there. In all sports, there are, you know, and there was just some stuff, rules that, you know, maybe, you know, 100 some years ago, you know, when nobody was watching them and there weren't cameras everywhere, that you needed to have in there. But I think now it's kind of just common sense prevails, you know, tapping down spike marks. And that was another thing. And we brought it, Dennis and I brought it up a couple times. It was, you know, these guys were able to tap down spike marks and everything else. And you think that's really going to have an effect, like full field events, that's going to really be,
Sure,
I'm not going to say a big deal, but it's going to have an effect. You know, you always talk about, well, late today, spike marks, well, not anymore. You know, you can tap those things down. But there was a thing where it seemed like guys are, like, doing it, but kind of feeling like, oh, I'm cheating. You know, it's like, you have to get yourself into the, I can do this now. You know what I'm saying? It's interesting, and I can understand that, you know, because you have to break kind of old habits a little bit on stuff like that. And you know
what happens with the spike marks is it takes away an excuse that almost all golfers use when you miss a putt, and they'd all look back, and then they'd go and tap down where, oh, let's see, that stupid spike mark just caused me to miss that putt. You don't have that excuse anymore.
No, I think the most entertaining part, though, guys, was watching the players with the new drop rule, dropping it from knee high. They were all laughing when they did it. Did you notice?
Yeah.
I didn't notice that. No, were they?
Yeah, they were.
It is. It's, you know.
Uh-oh. I think we lost Earl. Earl, are you there? Hello, Earl. We lost Earl.
Oh,
well, there you go.
Unless he's talking in beep turn now.
I'll call him back.
Beep, beep,
that was too good. We need to call him back and get him right back in the middle of the show. I mean, we're an impromptu show. There he is.
That's on your end.
Yeah, it must be. I'm in Nashville. Somebody turned on an amplifier down the street.
It's definitely your end.
Vince Gill's strumming his guitar next door. I don't know.
So anyway, yeah, I think the putting thing. Now here, Doug Bell was out there for a couple days with the Shambo, and he did ask his caddy about it. Now yesterday it was, this week it was more about the wind. Was, you know, especially Friday, the flag stick was moving. I mean, they were 35, 40 mile an hour gust. So more with him, he was told, his caddy told him it was more about if it's blowing back toward him and that flag stick is coming back toward him, that's when it was distracting and maybe not that's when he would take it out when he could. But, you know, I wouldn't say there's no rhyme or reason with him. I mean, he's not doing anything by feel. I'm sure he's got it worked out, like, you know, to the inch when it's an advantage and when it's not. You know, and there's differing opinions. There's some that can't see how having an obstacle in the middle of a hole is good for you.
Yeah.
But there's some that say, you have a backboard for a reason in basketball.
It's a backboard. So, yeah.
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 And the ball fits in there and it fits right in there. And so I think the proof is in the pudding. And it just seemed to me, my observation, that a few more guys were doing it on putts during the week into the weekend. We'll see. And look, if you see more guys doing it, there's your answer.
Yep.
I think it's going to be as simple as
everybody imitates success, right?
All right. I mean, so let's, let's move.
How many people putt using a conventional putting grip now?
Very few.
It's hard to name, right? I've brought this up before. Everybody's got something crazy going on, right? It's hard to find a guy who takes two hands, puts them on the club, and strokes it anymore, right? And that used to, how many years ago? Not that long ago, paintbrush and all this stuff was weird, right? It was crazy. Yeah. What are you doing?
Now, Sneed started all that.
It's the norm. It's
Sam
the norm.
Sneed did. Hey, let's move to next week for a moment, and let's talk about, I think, two storylines that are going to occur next week. One is Patrick Reed back in the same tournament with Jordan Spieth. The other is Damon Green on Ollie Snyderjan's bag. That's going to be some backstory for you guys next week.
A little bit of it, more during the week. I mean, I get going when
yeah. Oh, you do.
I get on. We're going.
But you're good.
You're just trying to stir things up off the course.
Yes, he is.
Everybody thinks there's this, you know, this wants to create drama. And I'll tell you what, the same thing in Pittsburgh, you know, with this whole thing in football with Antonio Brown. And oh, there's no way he could ever be back. Of course there is. Because, you know, someone's going to talk to someone and then all of a sudden, yeah, we're fine. So if everybody thinks, just don't be fine. I don't look or pay much attention. Yeah, sure. It's interesting. You know, everybody wants the soap opera. And I don't really care too much about that. I think it's just,
yeah,
it's kind of the week where now, you know, we had the winners only and a totally different golf course. And then this one at YLI is just totally different. And it's more the full field. Now it's the first one of the year. It's not the first one of the season, obviously, anymore, but you know, it's just this schedule is going to, the changes, it's going to be quick. I mean, this is going to be the big, I'm not to say adjustment, but it's the big unknown this year because, you know, McIlroy showed up in Kapalua. I mean, and there's a reason. He said, I don't want to show up in Florida 100th in FedEx Cup points. Well, you can't because you show up in Florida, by the way, Players Championship is now in March, you know, and you get to the Valspar by weeks because there's, you know, multiple events some weeks. Valspar is midway through the season now, March. You know, the tournament's in the regular season. So this thing accelerates pretty quickly. And, you know, that's why these early events. And then you've got, you know, everything spread out with players and PGA now. And so the one thing I think it's going to do is, you know, with these important events kind of spread out and starting earlier in the year, the players have been in March before. I mean, we know that, but not in this, not the FedEx Cup setup. You know, you could, especially the majors too, you could get hot at the right time and, like, you know, kind of ease your way into the season, start playing better, you know, midsummer and by the end of the year, and you could win majors and win, you know what I'm saying? And win just playing well at the right time. And it's always been that case. But now everything's spread out. It's going to be, you know, fairer, maybe the word, better the word, but it's going to better, you know, you don't have to play specifically well at just one time a year now throughout the year. I mean, if you play well early, you got the Players and you got the PGA and then you got, you know, or the Masters. And then you got the, you know, you've got all these things in the middle, and it's going to be an adjustment for the fans too, because everybody knows about the changes and the new schedule. But I think that's part of the fun this year is that, you know, we kind of hit the ground. You better be running at this point. And when you get back to the mainland, I mean, we're only couple of months away from the Players Championship. Now it's crazy.
I'm already packing.
Crazy.
Ready to go. Yeah.
It's crazy. Hey, Earl, and again, we're joined by Earl Forsey with PGA Tour Radio. And
or a jacket for March.
I remember those years living there, man, in March.
You never know.
I said this week, it's cold. We're talking about the schedule, say one thing we don't have to worry about is 90 degrees in the tent this year.
No, you don't. Not at the Players
That's
Championship.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah. Well, the heaters will probably kick the broadcast off the air this time, so you got to be careful.
That never happens.
Hey, Earl.
No, never.
Got to talk to you about a little bit of football here. So does it pain you that both the Eagles and Cowboys are still alive in the playoffs?
Nice.
Let's just get right to the heart of things.
Nice.
No, it pains me that the Eagles are still alive. I mean, that's disgusting. But the good news from the weekend, I can find something to root for, or many times mainly if the Redskins aren't involved, against. So I was very pleased yesterday with Philip Rivers and the Chargers.
Oh yeah,
going to Baltimore and ripping up the Ravens.
Loved
it. In a game that, you know, was not as close as that score would indicate. So that pleased me to no end. The Philly thing, yeah, I was disgusted by Philadelphia fans here a couple weeks ago because they all came to town, all 50,000 of them, you know, making the playoffs and all this stuff. Then I had to talk to them, you know, for a couple days after that. I had to run a couple off the phones because I, you know, the one guy before me was on in the local station, the Fan DC. You can listen on radio.com, by the way. You know, these people calling up, they deserve to be at FedEx Field. You know, look, Redskins got a lot of problems. They can't put fans in. But, you know, all of a sudden, you know, you win one title, you know, but, you know, a fluke because your quarterback gets hurt and you get actually the guy that actually can win in there. I mean, and I'm hearing Philly fans, like, you know, it's like all of Howard Eskin's relatives are calling the fan. I don't need this. I don't want to talk to these people. But I will say the Nick Foles thing is just, it's football. I mean, that's why. And again, I have to deal with people and, well, by the way, how that Kirk Cousins thing work out. But, you know, we have this. It's still a bait. It's still Kirk Cousins here because they had a guy play and put up numbers. And I deal with these people all the time, the analytics people. We're just talking about the Shambo and everything. Hold this whole thing with analytics and numbers, 4,000-yard seasons or anything. There was, and that's not what it's all about. Player A who has this stats and player B who has the exact same stats. In football especially, they are not the same player. I can take a guy with the same amount of home runs and RBI in baseball and put him at a different stadium, and maybe it'll change a little bit depending on if it's a hitter's ballpark or not, or a pitcher. But you know what? That guy's – Bryce Harper is going to do what he does if he goes somewhere else or stays in D.C., right? I mean, for the most part.
Right.
But the number – quarterbacks are different, and this is the thing. Look, Wentz is – I mean, he's the prototype guy, right? If he were available right now, there'd be 25 teams, you know, probably in on him. But – and I brought this up during the season when we were just talking around the NFL stuff and on my show. I said, you know, the Eagles, this is when Wentz came back. And I said, people are not really realizing that. Yes, the Eagles are defending champs, but the Eagles won the Super Bowl. They didn't win the Super Bowl with Carson Wentz. Everybody was excited about it, and I'm not knocking him. I said, but the reality is they won with Nick Foles. Carson Wentz didn't, so it's great he's coming back. And then kind of the same scenario, he gets hurt again now. And then Foles comes in, and then, you know, they were teetering, and then they go to L.A., and they do, you know, they win all these games, and, you know, what? If he were to win this one, I mean, I don't think they have to win another Super Bowl, but you certainly have a decision to make, and I still think it's Wentz, but it's crazy for them.
It is.
And I think I think someone's going to, you know, jump on Nick Foles. Look, he's played elsewhere. Look at his numbers with the Rams and in Kansas City. Didn't do much.
Yep.
So that's the other thing. Right. Someone's going to want him, and you probably, there's some needy teams that if he is available and he's the one to go, they're going to get him, and they're not going to get Philly Nick Foles. They're going to get Rams Nick Foles.
Yeah, because he might be in the perfect position for him because he's kind of Wyatt Earp, right? He just comes into town, cleans up the streets, and there's not a lot of pressure on him because he's not expected to go from beginning to end of the season. So he comes in, he's like, here I am, put my hat on, and I clean up the city.
It is. I mean, and that's the thing. And it's one of those things where you take, and especially quarterbacks, we've seen it time and time. You know, I'll go back way back. Scott Mitchell, you know, when he was the backup in Miami and went to Detroit and all this stuff. It's not the same when you switch teams, for the most part, for guys.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not the same. Other sports, if LeBron goes to the Lakers or Cleveland or Miami, he's still LeBron, right? It's football is so different, and quarterbacks in particular. And that's the thing here I was getting to. And they, you know, when Alex Smith was 6-3 and, you know, not doing anything. They were terrible here. But I kept saying there's something about him, though. And that the Cousins numbers don't explain, that his numbers don't explain. There's just something. There's a general in command of his troops kind of thing with a quarterback. You know, there's just something there. And then he gets hurt, and then the season implodes. And just a few weeks after he got hurt, the players here, a lot of them, even the defensive players, were pointed like, man, we lost Alex. That was just – there's something about that man. And they were all saying there's something about that dude. It was just something about him. And they couldn't even put the word to it, the finger on it. And that's football. And that's why this Foles thing is so – it's not strange. It just – it can happen. And – there may not be a right answer for them, and I don't really care if there is a right answer. Hopefully, they make the wrong choice, whatever it is. But I will tell you, Dallas, I will tell you, Dallas. Yes. I like the Cowboys. They're set up for a big run. They're set up for a big run. They've done it right.
I don't know if I ever told
you guys when they made the Amari Cooper deal. I was one of those.
Yeah.
Everybody hated the first round pick. I didn't. I see for what the first round receivers are. Josh Doctson in D.C. So if you can get Amari Cooper with a first round pick, I was all for it. I think it's turned out. I think you see. So now you've got a big three again in Prescott, Elliott, and Cooper, that the base around your offense. You still got the stud offensive line. And then you've got these two linebackers that came in. And Leighton Vander Esch, you know, he's got made people forget about John Lee. So you got those two guys and Lawrence, they'll resign. So they've got a core, and that's the way you got to build it in the NFL now. A core of about half a dozen guys, three on one side, three on the other, couple. And then you've just got to fill pieces in, and they have a ton of money. They haven't spent much money. I think they are a problem for a long time for everybody in the NFC East and the NFC, because I think that core, you know, and Elliott is the one. How long do you ride him? And in running backs, you never know. But
that
core is there now, and, you know, I'm not sure this is the year they win it, but I don't dislike.
They're in the conversation. By the way, Earl, I'm curious about the everybody's talking about the offense early, league wide in Kansas City and the Rams, and everything's going crazy. And you got to score 50 points to win a game, and 40 points, and all that stuff. And the Saints, and now you see in the playoffs that the highest scoring team happened to be the Cowboys, 24 points, 24-22. You had 16-15. Yet all these, is defense still going to be what matters? And if you're Kansas City or the Rams, and you're used to winning with your offense, you're in trouble now in the playoffs?
Because it's those guys, like I work with sometimes, that are kids that don't understand. I mean, they just, everything's about, and I'm a fantasy football guy. I love the offense, but there's something happens in the NFL playoffs, and the switch flips. And you saw yesterday, it was more grinded out, and that's what happens. And some of it's weather, some of it's not anymore with the dome stadiums. It doesn't have as much of an effect, but, you know, defense still matters. I mean, and it's nice to score a lot of points because that can cover up some deficiencies. But I think we found in the past, even when New England was, you know, when Brady was having that match, that just great, ungodly, you know, season, there's always a day or a game where that dries up. You know, it's something happens. And it may not be, you might run into a good defense, or you just, quarterback might have a sinus infection or something. You know, it's just something. And then that's when you need to come through with defense to win, because if you have that day at the wrong time, then you're out of the playoffs. And it just, it's still, I think there's a formula in the NFL, and I'm not saying it's 3 yards in a cloud of dust anymore. I'm not opposed to throwing the ball on first down like some people are. I'm not opposed to 2-point conversions. I'm not a dinosaur. I'm not telling people to get off my lawn, but the analytics folks, and I have this, and it's, you got to throw it 60 times a game and I score points. Yeah. Well, today's that, because you know why you do. And Belichick really in the NFL, you know, when he started, remember he started spreading it out with that Brady season when, my God, they don't even run the ball, because the rules are slanted so much to the offense. Take advantage of what the rules, like if you're getting a ruling in golf, take advantage of the rules, you know, and that's the thing why that offense has become more important, because it's so skewed now to the offense. The benefit of everything goes to the offense now. So there's a reason for that, but. Yeah, when push comes to shove. Although I will say that this weekend we had the Texans lose, and they were the first number one team defense, rushing defense, yards per carry. The Colts ran all over them. The Ravens were the number one defense in the NFL, and they got bounced yesterday. The Seahawks were the number one rushing team in the NFL, and they got bounced Saturday night. And if the Ravens weren't the best defensive team, the Bears were, and they're gone too. So I guess I just, you know, made the argument against myself too about defense.
I guess yourself,
all four of those teams are gone. You still do have to score points. You can't win with zero. But you're right. But that's NFL. That's playoff football. And that's why it was fun, you know, and you know, all smiles and giggles when the Rams and Chiefs were running up the field and, you know, playing a 55-54 game. But that's not happening in the playoffs. And that's why it's so much fun.
It is. It is. It's a whole new world, and it all starts again. Earl, we do appreciate your time, as always. Again, the PGA Tour moves to the Sony Open in Hawaii for next weekend. Then they come back to the mainland and full bore. A new season, new rules, new schedule, and very, very exciting. And everybody's excited that you and the entire broadcast team on PGA Tour Radio is going to be a part of it. So we look forward to the 2019 part of this season and certainly listening to you, Earl, and having you back on the show again very soon, okay?
Yeah, I appreciate it. And you were stunned. I did not say anything disparaging about the Cowboys, weren't you?
I was shocked. I was shocked.
I'm literally on the floor. I fell out of my chair. I mean, I don't know if you heard.
It's true. Yeah. I do speak the truth. You know, I do. I try to.
Whether you like it or not, you're going to speak the truth. I like that. That's good.
That's good. For you. That's all good.
Yeah. We're with you. We'll talk Cowboys next time, because next time we talk, they'll be in the NFC Championship game or the Super Bowl. So we'll have you on for that.
Money on that?
Okay. All right, Earl. Take care. Have a good day.
All right, buddy.
See ya.
See you, Earl. Thanks.
Earl Forsey with PGA Tour Radio. in case people don't know, Earl works local CBS radio in Washington, D.C.
Yes.
So if you haven't heard Earl before, in addition to doing the great job in PGA Tour Radio, he does regular stuff on sports talk radio in D.C. there. And certainly, as he tells you, he's been a Redskins fan his whole life for, you know, ever and ever and ever. So it doesn't take Earl long to get into talking football and certainly talk about the Redskins. And like I said, Frank, there's only 8 teams left, 4 in the AFC, 4 in the NFC. Everybody else is licking their wounds and wondering what could have been, what should have been, what about next year? Here comes the draft. You know, the NFL is a monster, as we know, and all other leagues wish they were the NFL because everybody seems to love, hate, whatever it might be. There's just a lot of passion around it, and this year's no different. So we'll see what happens. I'm going to say right now that people better keep an eye on it. Nobody brings them up very much. The Indianapolis Colts. I don't know if you saw their game against Houston, but won 21-7, and it could have been even worse than that. Colts are an excellent football team.
Stop.
Because they beat the Titans? You don't like them?
Yeah. Oh, that was a brutal Sunday night. You know that.
They're good.
Why'd you have to bring them up again?
Only because
the Colts aren't
just
from Indianapolis.
A really good team.
They're Baltimore. where's Shula and Unitas when you need them? Okay, come on.
And I'll tell you what. They started, I'm probably wrong on this. They either started 1-4, 1-3.
Yeah.
The Colts had a terrible start to the season, and now they're the team nobody wants to play. They got to play Kansas City this weekend, so we'll see.
They have the Titans number. That Sunday night game was a big promotion, big exciting. You know, it was basically the start of the playoffs because it was, you know, bye bye if you lose, and it was just brutal to watch. I mean, I turned it off at halftime. I didn't even go because the weather was so bad; it was going to rain. So.
Yeah,
we gave up tickets, and we just stayed home and watched the first half, and I flipped over. By the way, before we go, last night, while I'm trying to watch the tournament, the Golden Globes were on.
Yes.
Yes.
I saw some of that.
That's all I'm going to say about that.
I
just don't know why they televised that stuff.
I'm not sure either. And here, I'll give my politically incorrect view on it is there's just too much self-aggrandizing, right? It's like enough is enough to say thank you. And here, because at some point, yes, I like movies like everybody else. I like TV shows. I like listening and watching the stars do it. That's cool, but not when they start playing the music and they get so mad.
Oh yeah,
like stop to. I'm like, because nobody wants to hear you thank your mother's sister, your third agent, and all.
No,
nobody cares. Yeah. Just stop it. And then when they want to get political, I'm going,
that drives me nuts.
Go. Really?
You don't see that on the PGA Tour. You do not see that.
I know.
You will not see that. And so watch golf.
At some point, they're going to say, we either take them off the air, or I think, because ratings seem to be going down, because people just get tired. No matter what side you're on. I'm not saying it's
vulgarity.
All one or the other, but
the
it's on one side or the other. Yeah.
There was some stuff last night that was just way off color. That I heard
because I think they start to broadcast
back and forth because you know my better half wanted to see some of the Golden Globes too, although she's a golf freak. But I was just flipping back and forth, you know, between shots, and it seems like every time I turned it on, there was something that offended me. So,
well, they start with a cocktail party for like 4 hours.
Oh, yeah.
Before the broadcast starts.
That
so that's
helps.
Part of the problem. Everybody's already had a pretty good time by the time the cameras come on.
Well, I was trying to see if we could see Roger and Laura there, but. They didn't show the crowd outside of just the tables up front with our neighbor here in Nashville, Keith Urban, and his wife Nicole Kidman.
Yeah,
were there.
They actually, if you're not in the front kind of part of that room, nobody sees you anyway because they made. I don't know if you saw that they made Jim Carrey get up from the front section and move, which is a whole shtick thing they did. And they had Jim Carrey get up and go to, and he's like, can I take my dinner with me? And he picked up his plate, and they had a security guy with an earpiece escort him to the back of the room and everything.
Saw that.
Because he wasn't in a big enough film. Yeah, it was pretty funny. So.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. And by the way, Lady Gaga got totally snubbed.
Yeah, she did. Well, she won the music, right? She won the song.
Yeah, the song. But, I mean, you know, well, I don't know.
But they didn't. She didn't win Best Actress. And we'll see what happens. The movie didn't win Best Film.
I'm looking forward to the Best Drama will be when we start this tournament this week in Hawaii. And, well, I'm not going to go there. I just won't. But there's going to be some off-course drama this week. There's no doubt about it. So
we'll see. We'll
and
see.
I like
everybody,
that.
By the way.
I don't like that as much as I like the golf, okay? Don't get me wrong. But there's going to be some drama.
And everybody has to understand as well that everybody's not supposed to be best friends with everybody. Right?
No.
And so if you put 50 people, 100 people, they're not all going to get along, and that's fine. And everybody on the tour, while mostly are civil and decent all that, they're not all best friends.
You
I mean,
and I've
some
gotten
go their own way.
In
some
fights
are,
on stage.
Yes, some of them, yeah. Some of them are married and have a family. It's a completely different life than the young guys who are single. You know, so there's all kinds of things. Tiger and Phil were never the best of friends, and yet just a few months ago, they put on a happy face and played for $9 million. So, you know, money makes people strange bedfellows. They're all in it together on the PGA Tour. They're all trying to win. When it comes to Ryder Cup, President's Cup, I think they will all pull it together for that week and get along. But during the rest of the year, there's going to be fireworks.
Sure.
And Jack Nicklaus didn't get along with everybody. And Lee Trevino ruffled feathers back in the...
Sure he did.
It's gone on forever, right? So, and then they all get retired and they laugh and they tell the same stories and it's all fine and good. But, yeah, there'll be a little drama this weekend, that's for sure.
Hey, so, by the way, shout out to our good friends at the French Lick Resort. And they're on again for 2019, supporting us.
Yeah.
And our great friends from Club Corp with 300-plus country clubs and private clubs around the country, clubcorp.com. Check it out, folks. It's really, really cool. And
and if you're a member at one Club Corp, you're a member at all of them. So you get privileges at all these different, all over the country, at dinner places too, as you said, as nightclubs that you can go to. And if you're out of town and you go somewhere, and as a member, they have special deals. I don't know if you see these, I'm too sure, Frank, but
for cruises,
for all kinds of travel all over the world, it's a great, great deal. So check them out at clubcorp.com.
Can I borrow your American Express card? I need to pay my Club Corp.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Good.
Yeah.
Just send me the number. Just tell
me
the number.
Give
me
the number right now.
Yeah. Just
over the air.
And the code on the back.
Just you and me.
Yeah. It's just
you and me. Yeah. No problem. Yeah. It won't matter. Go ahead. Run that up a bit.
There you go. Just trying to help, pal.
All right. Well, we are out of time, and we do appreciate everybody for listening to us, and we do appreciate the people at Club Corp, French Lick, and all of our sponsors. Thanks to everybody for hanging with us. And we got a brand new year starting 2019. Can't believe it. We've been on the air since the early 50s, and we're still there, Frank. Hanging in.
Unbelievable.
Doing another year's worth of shows. And for Frank Bassett, thank you also to Earl Forsey being with us. I'm Tim Matthews. Thanks for listening. And please remember to join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.